Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, it seems part of the job these days, that job being reporting on a particular artistic medium, is to look back over the past year. You know, those tiresome lists of favorites, disappointments, trends, maybe even a few predictions. Of course, in the theater world, it's somewhat more difficult because a season does not a year make. In other words, a New York season begins in the fall, sort of ends in the spring. So you'll see shows on lists that may have been nominated, won, or lost in last year's Tony Awards, but still officially debuted in 2018. But let's put all that aside. People constantly ask me, what shows have you liked lately? What can you recommend? Well, first, recommending anything, except maybe Stanford or Berkeley, if you can get in, is risky. You need to know someone's taste. Do they like musicals, revivals, Shakespeare? Are they open to small and edgy? When I look back on the many, many works I saw this past year, a few seemed to come out of the blue and truly hit me in the head and the heart. Now, two were productions of The Mint Company, which finds old, forgotten, or ignored plays. Among their offerings this past season, Kindle Wakes and Conflict were especially compelling. While a century or more old and not even American, they resonated loudly. Similarly, I loved Alan Ackburn's A Brief History of Women at 59 East 59. Now, I promise I'm not making a case here that they don't write them like they used to, but these plays certainly proved you can have large casts filled with complex characters, strong women in particular, and take us through difficult, challenging decades, ones often dealing with the after effects of war. Now, speaking of wars, two dealing with the First World War moved me, and both are still playing. All Is Calm, The Christmas Truce, 1914, is at the Sheen Center. I'm in Los Angeles right now, and I notice it's also playing out here. Then there is The Hello Girls, about a group of tenacious and patriotic women who got themselves to the front as switchboard operators. And it only took 70 years for them to finally be given the benefits they deserved. All Is Calm is another true story of a holiday night when the enemies stopped shooting and started singing, if only. Now on to Broadway. I am surely not alone in considering The Ferryman the most accomplished and entertaining work of the season, at least so far. Yes, 2018 is passing us by, but not the new season. But The Ferryman will be difficult to beat come Tony time, I have to think, though I have not yet seen To Kill a Mockingbird. I guess it may come down to how patriotic the voters feel. Mockingbird is a national treasure. Ferryman hails from London, written by Jez Butterworth. It's about the troubled times of the IRA. It has a large cast and no known stars and lasts more than 3 hours. Yet the reviews and word of mouth have been very strong. I'm not sure if the run will be a long one, likely not appealing to the, hey, let's go see a fun show in New York ticket buyer. I also thoroughly enjoyed the lifespan of a fact more than I enjoy working with actual fact checkers, I might add. It is short, thought-provoking, and beautifully performed by Terry Jones, Bobby Cannavale, and Daniel Radcliffe. Now, that run does end soon. I'm not sure why they can't replace the trio with three other fine actors, but such is the case of the limited run, often built around big stars who are available only for a few months. Now, as for the letdowns, disappointments for me included two of those limited runs, by the way, built around TV stars. First is American Son, starring Kerry Washington. Now, others are moved by the piece, and it clearly divides viewers. It's frankly not deep or complex enough to even warrant that kind of conversation. But hey, if folks are moved, more power to them. The play deals with issues of racial profiling, and race itself, I think I can say, was a prevalent trend this past season, large in theaters, large and small. More on that in a minute. And even though I agree that Bryan Cranston is one of our great American acting treasures, I don't think that Network is a stellar production. Aside from his interpretation of Anchorman turned reality star turned national prophet Howard Beale, the other characters in Network get short shrift, and much of the satire of the movie has been lost. And I know I might get arrested for this, but I happen to think director Ivan Van Hove is the most overrated figure in the theater world. There, I said it, shoot me. Now, boys may be the trend in movies these days. At least three new features feature them in the title. But you might say girls have the current power on stages. We have or had Mean Girls, Clueless, Prom, Schoolgirls, the African Mean Girls play, and Pretty Women in New York, not to mention those Hello Girls. Continuing as the biggest trend in theater is raiding the archives of every movie studio to see what projects can add a little music and become Broadway plays. Well, that list is pretty endless, with more to come, including Tootsie in the spring. That's kind of a boy turns girl, turns back to boy. Jukeboxes also keep on coming, and many of those also are female-driven. Cher is the latest to get the treatment, and Carole King's Beautiful continues. But Donna Summer and the Go-Go's have just seen theirs flop. Men are on the way, however. Next to come is one about the Temptations that had a successful run in its debut in Los Angeles. So what else might close? Well, without sounding Grinch-ish, I would keep an eye on the band's visit, even after it won last year's Tony for Original Musical. Just a hunch, but based on key metrics, I'd be surprised if we're talking about it a year from now. I'm also not exactly optimistic about transferring two unusual pieces from successful runs off-Broadway. The Girl from the North Country, yep, another girl, which includes Bob Dylan's songs within a radio play format during the Depression in Duluth, Minnesota. Well, that was a hit at its run at the Public Theater, but Broadway, I don't see it. The same with the inventive, immersive Oklahoma that divided audiences at St. Anne's Warehouse this fall. I simply don't see why it would make it on Broadway. There are no stars attached. Let's not forget The Carousel, another dark show by Rodgers and Hammerstein, did not enjoy a good run last season. The one Hammerstein revival that was totally stripped and reimagined that did work for me was Carmen Jones at the Classic Stage Company, and there is talk of moving that to Broadway as well. Still not sure how wide an audience would have, but I wish them well. Finally, a new controversy broke out this week about the casting of All My Sons, which is to open in the spring with Annette Bening and Tracy Letts. Director Gregory Mosher quit when Arthur Miller's daughter objected to his casting black actors for key roles. Rebecca Miller has her artistic reasons. Mosher has his political ones. This happened with Albee's estate on Virginia Woolf, you'll recall, a few years back. And I assume, Jill, it's an issue on which both sides have a point, and the debate goes on.
And meanwhile, the show is supposed to be, the casting was not complete, correct?
Right.
So there's still room for direction, so to speak.
Yeah, but the director quit over, what I understand, they obviously cast the main two, Annette Bening, but there's another family.
Yes, and that was specifically, that was the issue, but the director withdrew.
Yeah.
So,
I think, you know, I on some of these, you have to understand the playwrights. People are either the playwright, they're usually long gone, or their estate, as they say, in this case, his daughter. You know, I think she feels that to throw in people of another color at a time when that was probably a pretty combustible issue and yet not deal with it, that could be very healthy for today's audiences. Or it can look like, huh? Even with Denzel Washington in The Iceman Cometh, it didn't bother me that he had the lead, also Arthur Miller, by the way, except that there was another character who was African-American and was written as an African-American and talked a lot about the racism going on at the time. And yet here you had the lead character, who was black, kind of never dealing with it. So, you know, I can see from a purist point of view why it might get in the way, you know?
I mean, everybody was fairly articulate in their responses. And
yeah.
So what apparently the estate was requesting is, all right, just if you're going to do that, do complete colorblind casting.
Right.
And that way, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
But to cast these two characters that way.
Right.
And again, I'm neutral-ish. And the reason I say ish is because without knowing all the sides and all of the information, just as a total outsider observing it, you know, mm-hmm. in the past, there as you just alluded to, there have been instances where you can tell that something was done gratuitously.
Right.
You can tell. And despite the claims of the doers, oh, no. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, it's done, you know, and so when it's gratuitous, it draws attention and it just messes with the entire essence of the thing, frankly.
Yes, it does. You know, my daughter watched, and another friend, they watched Mary, Queen of Scots this weekend, the new movie. And now these are very obviously liberal, you know, people, but they said it was jarring where all of a sudden we're in Victorian England and one character suddenly is African-American and another was Asian. Not big roles, but they said it was so jarring, you know, thinking, wait a minute, what? You know, really? And, you know, you almost feel it needs some explanation when it seems so... I mean, yes, it would be lovely to think we're at the point where you don't even think about it. You know, of course there would have been an Asian in the court, maybe. Of course there would have been. But, you know, it's still, at the, you know, we're not quite there. We're still a little tender about this.
Well, that also reminds me of the wonderful movie Belle. I don't know if you ever saw it from 2012, 2013, I think.
I did see that.
All right. Well, the reason that that movie got made was because there was a portrait of an ancestor in the house, and this woman was clearly of a mixed race.
Right.
But
right.
it wasn't that. I mean, that was right around the same historical time, right around,
mm-hmm.
Not exact, but.
Yeah.
And it's got everything to do with slavery, etc. You know, really important.
Yes.
But that being it, so I shouldn't say but. And that was the lead in. But here's the but. It was enough of a difference to mm-hmm. be notable, and therefore, to your point. If you are just putting, this is perhaps a gratuitous example of being colorblind, and you're asking for people to, especially in a movie version, you're asking for people to commit to something that's right. going to take. If you're doing something historical, that's going to potentially take away from. Focusing on the story itself and the intrigue surrounding that.
Right. And what the playwright was thinking when he or she wrote the piece. You know, Edward Albee had a very specific WASPy character in mind, you know, at that university in Who's Afraid, Virginia Woolf. And his estate felt, no, you know, I don't know. I mean, we'll see To Kill a Mockingbird, they have the children. I haven't seen it yet. I am seeing it in a few weeks. They have the children played by adults. That's different, of course. But that the racism issue is played straight, obviously. You know, we know Tom Robinson's black, and we know who isn't black. So I guess in a funny way, we all have Lin-Manuel to blame for this, because what he did with Hamilton, which was so beautiful, but we all just bought into it. We just bought into it, and it was fantastic, and it is fantastic. So a lot of people still use that as, well, listen, you know, Hamilton made George Washington black, and so why can't these friends, you know, in Arthur Miller's play be black? Well, it's not the same. You know, he had a very specific point, what he was saying about immigration and about, I mean, he had a point with his. And so does Arthur Miller, and so did Edward Albee, and I don't know. I think the playwright in the end has to be respected.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.